96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, Raw Star Assurance, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So glad you could join us. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live, of course, on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. That's BTC Flow, channel 612. I should have some guests for you today. Waiting on one piece of instruction. But again, I'm so glad that you could join us. A couple of matters we're going to talk about today once I've had a little bit of a discussion with our guest. But a couple of matters in the press, interesting matters in the press that I would like to talk about. Maybe not be able to talk a lot about one of them, but I mean, it's an interesting lesson, I think, or interesting opportunity to provide some knowledge, some information about how certain things work. And we'll do that. So we're going to talk a little bit about Arawak X today. Somebody asked about that yesterday. We see the opposition is claiming the government is in a cash crunch. So we'll talk about what that means, what that looks like, what that's supposed to suggest. We'll talk about that as well. All right. So stay tuned. So listen, come October 1st, some of us are going to be doing some things that, isn't in my natural bailiwick, but I'm going to enjoy it nonetheless. And I have two guests who are going to talk to me about that. We heard from some of them about this a couple of weeks ago, and one of them at least is back. We have Mrs. Leslie Archer with us today, and then we have a gentleman. I am hoping that he'll be back to come and talk to me in an extensive way about some other matters. We have Dr. Eugene Kuba with us today, and they want to talk about Cleft of the Rocks upcoming Restore the Village Golf Tournament. Doc, how are you, sir?
I am fantastic, Brother Lang. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good now. I mean, I know you are not a man who believes in revenge and getting back at people, but you know, I did beat you last time on that golf course. I mean, let's get it out there right now.
To my recollection, that did not happen.
Wait, you had a team? Did you not have a team in the tournament?
I did. I beat everybody. To my recollection.
We won the tournament. no credit to myself, but I was on the team.
You are right.
So Cleft of the Rock is at it again. First of all, let's talk about what is Cleft of the Rock, what does it do, and why is this important for people to participate in?
Cleft of the Rock was founded by Latina Lightborn Newsom, who was a Bahamian, and her vision has been to improve parenting. As you very well know, I think you've been a part of the classes as well. Mm-hmm. But she has started an initiative where she teaches principles that would benefit anybody that has a child. Mm. And even people who are thinking about having a child.
Or who have anything to do with children.
Exactly.
Which is all of us.
Exactly. And, you know, I was reluctant for months to take the class. I was kind of busy. I couldn't see myself putting any time aside to take these classes. You know, I thought I was doing a pretty good job, but I was very, very enlightened. I was very glad that I actually set some time aside. I did a retreat, which was over a weekend in Grand Bahama. And I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot about parenting and how to teach my kids certain principles that I think I had been lacking on. It was extremely informative. And I would encourage any parent, anybody who's involved in children, anybody who's thinking about having a child to attend one of these sessions. So Cleft of the Rock is a foundation whose primary focus is on parenting. And one of the things that she's doing to raise funds is this golf tournament.
Excellent. Leslie?
Yeah, just to support what Dr. Cooper is saying, Cleft of the Rock is amazing. I encourage everyone to go and check out the website, cleftoftherockfoundation.org. You know, the scripture or the old song, He Hides Me in the Cleft of the Rock. Go and check out the website. Sign up for the newsletter. If you scroll down, there are opportunities to have a conversation with parenting with Latina or with one of the other volunteers. There's the Parenting on Purpose sessions that Dr. Cooper talked about that I also attended. And again, we are promoting the golf tournament. We want you to sign up. It's October 1st. Mr. Lang keeps presenting himself so humbly. And
I have to. That's the reality. I mean, I don't want people walking the golf course and then start thinking.
You were a part of the inaugural golf membership. You know, you have that initiation, so you could pat yourself on the back for that.
They ain't gonna ever take that from me. You know, I was there and we wake awake and so forth. But you know, the doc, Leslie, when I took the series of I had a child graduate university and two children in university and then a child in high school. So I'm, you know, you might ask, what you can teach me but parenting. I've been doing this, done that. But no, you ask, just as Doc said, you learn a lot of things that even if you had, but when you did it the first time around, you may have done it a lot better off. And then even now, it still can help and contribute to you're trying to teach your own children, parent your own children, or help others parent their children, or even sometimes parent yourself.
No, definitely. And, you know, for me, it was being proactive because, you know, my son is only 5 and I have a 3-month-old, but I wanted to get ahead of the gun in the best way that I could, especially raising 2 boys. And that is what Parenting on Purpose enabled me to do. And like Dr. Cooper said, give you principles. And sometimes where you feel you're lacking, like impulse control, like letting a no be no, you know, children can wear you down. Like, just having the skills to deal with it. You know, you get training for marriage, you get training to drive a car, you get training for a lot of things that we consider part of ordinary life. And building and raising a family is ordinary life. Why can't we learn from the wisdom of the elders, from systems and processes and principles that have been well established and well taught in a systematic way to raise our family? I certainly want to do it to raise my family. And I want to encourage everyone listening to consider taking a parenting training program. I just spoke to two persons. One is a retired teacher, and I spoke to my mom about it. And all of my mom's kids were all over the age of 18. And she's like, I want to do this program. I want to be a part of it. And that's how much value you're going to get from it. And that's how much value you're going to contribute to our country, to our society, in turn, by supporting the golf tournament, by visiting the website.
Now, you know, Doc, the tournament is around the theme of restoring the village. And one of the basic principles that is emphasized in Cleft of the Rock is there is a village that is better to raise a family than just even an individual or single unit of people. And you know, and I know that that's probably the way we found ourselves raised, right?
Absolutely. It does take, it seems like a cliche, but it does take a village to raise a child. And parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, neighbors sometimes back in our day, the neighbors would, you know, if they see you going astray, they pull you in. Teachers, principals, people in the church, all of these folks who have either a direct or an indirect influence on a child's life are very important for raising them and bringing them up. And I know we've kind of strayed away from that recently, but I think that those having that village of positive people who will influence a child, who will take responsibility for a child, or you know, even if it's not their own child, but teaching them principles and guiding them is so important. And I think this is what Cleft of the Rock is trying to reinforce and to bring back.
So Sunday, October 1st, how does this work? The tournament, the golf tournament takes place. What is it? How does it work? How do people get involved?
So it's at Bahama, the Royal Blue Golf Club, Sunday, October 1st. That's a few weeks from now. Starts at 9 a.m., the shotgun start. Breakfast and lunch is included. There's also an award ceremony with an array of amazing prizes. You can participate as an individual golfer. You can also sign up a team, or you can sign up and request to be a part of the team, or request to be put on a team when you register. And you can also just come as a spectator where you get the golf cart, but you just need to register. We want you to check it out. Go to cleftoftherockfoundation.org. It's an organization. So go to cleftoftherockfoundation.org. And register. Once you scroll down, you'll see the flyer for the Rebuilding the Village Golf Tournament. Complete it out. It's a Google Docs, and somebody will be in touch. And you could also learn about the Parenting on Purpose training programs and all of the abundant resources that Cleft of the Rock Foundation provides for you as a stakeholder in our children's future.
Well, Doc, I'm registered. My team is registered from Keystone. So I want you to know that we are packed and loaded, ready to come out there. I mean, I can tell you one thing, I can look good doing it. I know it's going to happen on the course, but I can try to look good.
That's half the battle right there. Looking right good there, is half the battle.
I remember you and I were inside the store, the shop, getting some gloves and stuff to look like we were doing something.
Yeah, you got to play the part, man. You got to play the part.
For a good cause.
This year will be no exception.
For a good cause. For a very, very good cause. I don't think that there's anything that can more directly and in a sustainable way impact upon the next generation of this country like parenting. I really don't.
And I want to shout out our sponsors. Dr. Cooper, thank you so much. GastroCare is one of the sponsors. We also have Donald Thompson and Associates. AeroPost is sponsoring. We have Microfill, we have Keystone, Craven, and our signature sponsor is Sandals Resort. So this is a high-class, high-quality event. So we want you to come out and support. You are giving and investing into the lives of children and supporting the family structure by doing so. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much to our sponsors. You mean a lot to us and what we do here with Cleft of the Rock Foundation.
All right, any last words? Come out and just get it done.
Sign up, sign up, sign up for the newsletter. You can call, message me for the access as well as 431-8355. 1242-431-8355. Check out the website, cleftoftherockfoundation.org. Sign up for the newsletter to find out about all our events, the parenting training program, and the golf tournament. And we look forward to seeing you. And thank you again to our signature sponsor, Sandals. And thank you, Dr. Cooper, and everyone else. Craven, Keystone, Microfill, Aeropost, Donald Thompson and Associates. We really appreciate your support.
All right.
And
well, thank
you. On October 1st.
We'll talk after. We'll talk after, Doc. Maybe you bragging and I'm not.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. I just wanted to add. Yeah. I just wanted to add. No matter what your proficiency is in golf, this is a fun event. So even if you're a beginner, if you're still learning how to swing the club, if you're intermediate, if you're an expert, I mean, this is a good time to come out, meet some people, have a good time. It's for a good cause. So. Don't worry too much about your golf swing. There's all levels of golfers out there, and we're all going to have a good time.
And to be real, me and two others on my team, I can tell you, we are handicapped. Handicap is worse when higher, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, but my handicap might be 1,000. Yeah, so I need letting you all know. We're going to go contribute to this cause, have fun, and really just have a great day.
Yeah, and parents, consider signing up with your kids. You know, I think some people did that last year. You know, you and your kids, come on and sign up, breakfast, lunch, and just enjoy a time on the Bahama golf course.
I asked my son if he wanted to go with me. You know, the boy told me, say, Daddy, when is this? I said, October. He said, I have stuff to do.
I'm so sorry.
What can I say? Ladies and gentlemen, Cleft of the Rock Foundation and its Restore the Village golf tournament coming up. God bless. Thank you guys for showing up. We'll talk to you again another time.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some talk. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 82374.
Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge, so we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I am so glad you could join us. If you want to give us a call at some point, you can call us on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or you can call us on 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can also text us on 24796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You will notice in the papers today some of the owners of the businesses that raised money through Arawak X, a company that we hosted on the show a number of times, along with some of those owners, saying, reassuring their investors that their monies are safe. And this following upon moves by the Bahamas, the Securities Commission of the Bahamas, to actually wind up Arawak X, the company that facilitated those fundraising opportunities for those investors. And so naturally, if you are investors or you are someone who just has been following the matter, you would ask the question, well, how does that work, right? On the one hand, the owners of the companies are saying that their monies are, the investors' monies are safe. On the other hand, you have the Securities Commission actually conducting proceedings to wind up the company. How does that square? So let's look at not the specific matter, but let's use the matter as an example of how this things work. So Arawak X is a business. Okay, that's reality. It is a business. They are investors who had an idea that they organized around their resources and the like to bring that idea into fruition. The idea was, here are people who have businesses that they're trying to raise funds for to expand. And then there may be some very average persons in the society who have always wanted to invest, but, you know, saw that as a more sophisticated, upscale thing for big money people and could not get involved. And so they had an opportunity to be able to come use a platform Arawak X provided to become subscribers and then investors in the companies using Arawak X's platform to raise funds. So they were crowdfunding business, a crowdfunding business where really you allow very smaller opportunities for investors to just get in there, put in $25, put in $100 and whatever amount and be able to invest in these businesses. So Arawak X was able to do that for a number of businesses. Some of those businesses you see in the newspaper today, some of them were on the show about their business. And so the Securities Commission, by whatever means, and this is what I always find interesting. Listen, don't get mad at me. So the Securities Commission has found through investigations and interviews that the company is insolvent. What does that mean? It means that not you can have a situation in which you have bills that you can't pay at the moment. But if we could see where income is going to come in to recover that situation at some point, then you're not insolvent. You may have a cash crunch at the moment, but you're not insolvent. But if you look into the company and you see no means, no way in the foreseeable future for that company to be able to rectify its inability to pay, then you say that company is insolvent. Sometimes a company makes that decision for itself and it winds up itself. In other times, if you're a regulated entity and the regulators come to see that, then the regulators may request the courts to wind you up. Okay, so you've seen that happen in the Bahamas before with some very large companies. So that is where Arawak X finds itself. Now, I've seen some things where Arawak X is disputing that, making other claims about things, about what has happened to itself and what they believe is behind all of this. But that's where the matter is at the moment. And so there is a court date set for the 13th. That's all I can tell you about that. Now, what I want to say, though, is if you're an investor, you did not invest in Arawak X. You invested through Arawak X. So if you're an investor, the only question for you is whether or not your transaction in the purchase of the shares in the company that used our fund itself, whether that transaction was concluded. Okay, so what happens typically is companies that provide these kind of platforms, they bring the investor together with the owner of the business. And there is a transaction that says I subscribe to buy 4 shares at $25 a piece, so I pay my $100. Now, the custody area of that business is supposed to conclude in a legal way that transaction, and there is some custody arrangement for those shares of yours to be held, so that if that transaction is concluded, your investment is in that business that came through Arawak X, not Arawak X, as an example. So if if Dr. Johnson and those are saying, listen, no, well, you bought shares in my company. If that company is still up and running, then you have shares in a going concern. You have shares in a business that is still viable. And similarly with any other business that's up and running that came through Arawak X, if your transaction was concluded and therefore you now own those shares, whatever happens to Arawak X, the only question is a question of the security of your transaction. And if that is secure, your concern would not be with Arawak X as much as the ongoing Tropical Gyros or Foot Care RX and those. And that's what they are saying. The owners of those companies are saying, listen, we are up and running, right? We are up and running. And so if we promise through your share ownership for you to participate in dividends and et cetera, the only thing that threatens that is if we go belly up, not if the company that brought us to fruition or brought us to the market went belly up, okay? So you've had major companies that may have been fundraisers for businesses that have gone out of business long time. We saw during the Great Recession that happened, but the businesses that they raised the funds for, they're still up and running. So that's really the bottom line. What will happen in the end, I cannot say, I do not know, but all I'm trying to explain to you is how to reconcile the two comments related to related to the fact that everything is okay while Arawak X is having to fight claims that is no longer solvent. Okay? If you have any questions about that, you can let me know. I hope that that provides you with some clarity. Obviously, the Securities Commission, in the conduct of their work, will have to see to those any issues and arrangements that may have been transacted in accordance or under the regulatory ambit of itself, and then, you know, go from there. But very, very interesting development, for sure. And, these payments, we're trying to get out there and to do things and, trying to do things. Okay. Listening to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll discuss some other matters. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 823-4374.
Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing loud music in the motorcycle?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So glad that you could join us. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-623-2543-16 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or 439-3043 is my WhatsApp. You know, I really I am hesitant to say this, but I'm wondering, right? Like, how did the Securities Commission come to think that Arawak X was insolvent? I know so many companies in the Bahamas who struggle to pay bills right now, right? Right this month, right? And I don't think people would just move, you need to be wound up. Of course, when you're in the investing community, that's a big challenge, a big problem. So I don't disagree that when companies facilitating investments move, in that way, that you might be concerned that if you hear something like that. But my question is how did that happen? Don't you wonder about that? Do you not think it's curious that the security, did this happen during an inspection? And was there for instance, right? How did we come to know that FX was in problems? How did we come to know that? We came to know that because someone who was associated with FX having assets in FX that wanted to, in the end, try to bail FX out, then decided, but because of what they saw, that they weren't going to do so. And then some writer for one of the cryptocurrency thing wrote about it, and that started the whole thing. But that didn't happen because the Securities Commission of the Bahamas or the United States or anybody had gone in and was inspecting files and documents and said, oh, no, something's wrong here. That didn't happen that way. But it blew up and became a big matter, right? How did this happen? Did FX create a scenario in which now that these checks are happening and something was discovered? I'd like to know how that was discovered. Not that, mind you, if it's a problem and it was discovered, that's fine. That's wonderful. But how? How? See, man, let me tell you something. You're an entrepreneur, you get in business. Listen, man, you put yourself out there. Businesses fail. I've been in them, I've had businesses. We tried, didn't work out. I had to suspend operations. So I know what that's like. This move, this is... I just wonder, how did it happen? Yeah, not FX, FTX, sorry, FTX. So just like FTX, someone within Arawak X came forward and notified the Securities Commission of the Bahamas about concerns? Okay. Okie dokie. Yeah. What would happen in circumstances like that? If you discovered a company was having challenges, you might say, what's your plan to fund the operations going forward, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't present a plan, then you could say, you know what, bro, you got to be wound up. I don't know what happened. I don't know. One thing, let me see what happens is, these things have implications for what the next guy out there decides to do. And it could be a cautionary note for the next guy, but it could also be a note of, my brother, listen, don't try nothing in the Bahamas. Don't try nothing in the Bahamas. And sometimes people get that attitude, right? I've had far too many people who, that's their view, that's their perception. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Lang, how you doing?
Hey, good man. How you?
Hello.
Yeah, I'm listening to you. How you doing?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, Mr. On Morning's Blend show yesterday, Dwight had on Chester, and according to him, a former board member of the company noticed something that some irregularities within the company, and apparently they reported it to the Securities Commission.
A former board member.
Right.
Mm.
And I mean, he called his name on the he called his name on the radio, but
the former board member did so after he was no longer a board member.
I guess so. I think he resigned. I don't know whether he tried to speak with the
You remember the name of the board member?
Mr. Hillary DeVoe.
Oh, okay. Oh, who was a former executive director of the Securities Commission, actually.
Right.
Okay, that's something.
Right.
So, yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. That's interesting. Okay. All right. Got you. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. All right. This text says the insolvency allegation suggests that funds collected for investment were not paid to the business is using our access platform. But that the insolvency wouldn't be that. That the insolvency has to do with being able to pay your bills. The commingling of funds would have to do with collecting funds for investment to businesses and using those funds for other means. But it wouldn't be that wouldn't be about insolvency. That would be about commingling. Because if you imagine, actually, if you use some funds that you got to pay bills, then that might help this insolvency, right? But it's not the same. That's not the same thing. Just so you understand. Poison say, Hillary, what that mean? It's a good day. According to the Guardian News yesterday, the Security Commission had a member sitting on the board of IROC. Actually, no, it didn't have a member. Couldn't have a member. The Securities Commission could not have a member sitting on the board of a company at regular interest. Mr. DeVoe, Hillary DeVoe, was the former executive director of the Securities Commission, was there when I was a minister, I think, at some point. Says, and brought it to the attention of the Securities Commission. Interesting. Interesting indeed. Okay. This text says, Shivago, I share the same sentiments with regard to Arawak X. I have this conspiracy theory that there are persons who this company wanted this company to fail. Oh my God. See, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Go ahead, caller. Do we have a call on the line? Yeah, I am not going to say anything more. I am not saying I hope you're clear. If you invested in Arawak X, or if you were just following the matter, I hope you understand better the extent to which those who invested, if you are an investor who used Arawak X's platform. Okay, I wanted to make sure you were clear about the fact that your investors that used Arawak X's platform to raise money are not an Arawak X itself, so that if those companies are still operating, solvent, and growing, and so forth, then that is where your investment lies, and you should not have a challenge, should not have a challenge. So of course, it was after he left with his severance package, probably. People are always bitter when they are weeded out of a company. Well, they say he resigned, so we don't know. We don't know. I don't want to speculate, but honestly, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, Mr. Shivago, like, how you doing? Challenge Johnson.
Hey, I'm right here, man.
Yeah. What happens is that there's a number of things that happen. that this is in the public domain because it's also as part of the court case concerning the insolvency.
I don't want to discuss the specifics of the case.
No, this is published. No, this is published in the Guardian as well as the Tribune. Okay. So I understand.
I read stories.
Right. So essentially, you had more than just Mr. DeVoe. You had Felix Stubbs, and you had an investor, Mr. James Campbell, and others involved in it. So my question, though, would be concerning the fact that both FTX.
We lost him. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. You may have to call back. Anyways, you know what? Listen. So when we come back from the news break, I wanna venture into a number of other matters. Surrounding claims by the opposition that the government is in a cash crunch, right? What does that mean, that the government is in a cash crunch? What does that mean? When was the government of the Bahamas never in a cash crunch? What does that mean? The government of the Bahamas runs overdraft probably 360 out of 365 days. Well, I've got no money in the bank. It means if you're using you're above and beyond the money you deposited in your account, the bank allows you to draw on its money. And so it then takes your account and puts it in the red. So let's say you have $1,000 on your account. You pay a bill for $500. Now your account has $500 on it. But then you got in $100. And now you have $600 on your account, but a bill came in for $1,000. So now you have a bill for more than the amount of money you have in your account. And so the bank says, you know what? I am going to permit you to pay that $1,000 bill. So you use your $600, that brings your account down to zero. Use my $400, that brings your account down to negative in the red $400. So you now run an overdraft and I'm gonna charge you an interest payment on that. That's called an overdraft. That's the government of the Bahamas to the tune of $300 million practically every day, God sends. Oh yeah, you're paying your taxes, but so they are running that overdraft practically every day. If you are running an overdraft, when are you not in a cash crunch? Yes, you could still be in a cash crunch, running an overdraft. Yes, you can. I can explain it. I'll explain it when we come back from the break. But I only want you to know that the government of the Bahamas, see, somebody said the government insolvent. No, it ain't insolvent. You could only be insolvent when I can't see a means for you to pay your bills. That's the only way you could be insolvent. But if you can have a $10, $50 million come in soon and you got a bill for $40 million, you ain't insolvent. Now, I remember when we were in office, me and Mr. Ingram, I was Minister of State for Finance, the present Attorney General of the Bahamas, present Attorney General of the Bahamas, Ryan Pinder, when he was in opposition, he said, and it was reported in the in the Guardian or the Tribune, or both, that was the headline, and this was a quote by Mr. Pinder. And I went through all of the means by which the government of the Bahamas is funded and the capacity it had in relation to those means to fund, and how that capacity was better than in the time when Mr. Christie was in office. And I used the words to Mr. Pinder, insolvent? Insolvent, you remember that speech? boy. So the Bahamas government is not insolvent. Not at all. Not in the least. Not in the least insolvent. The Bahamas government could sell 3, 4, 5 United Islands before it became insolvent. Send some people home. Don't have to pay all of that, them salaries, and then use the cash to go pay its bills. You know, the government of the Bahamas is not insolvent. right? So, but can it have a cash crunch? Notwithstanding, it has a $350 million overdraft. So remember now, the government is going to collect $2 billion plus dollars, almost $3 billion in the course of 12 months. $3 billion. It has an overdraft of $300 and some million at the government, at the bank. We're going to talk about how it could have a cash crunch when we come back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabai Balang, your host. We'll be back after the news break. Take a stand.
Is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Created Events and Marketing presents Becoming, a transformative women's empowerment summit that will take place on September 24th at the National Training Agency located on Gladstone Road at 3 p.m. Phenomenal speakers include DeQuessa Dean, Simone Bowe, Sherilee Pinder, Marissa Mason-Smith, and Dr. Nyambi Campbell-Dean. Not to mention a flaunted fashion show segment hosted by Miss Phyllis Garraway. Tickets are $50 and can be purchased at the Nassau Guardian or Essence Med Spa, number 15 Bradley Street, Palmdale. Proceeds will be donated to the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group.
Calling all junior and senior high school students, you could win a brand new iPad for the new school year. Enter the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition. All you have to do is essay on the topic, what does going digital mean to you? For junior high students, your word limit is 1,000 words. For senior high students, your word limit is 1,500 words. To enter, email your essay along with your name, school, and grade level, as well as your parents' contact information to alpha@platoalpha.com by Friday, September 22nd. The winners will be announced on Guardian Radio on September 29th. The winner for each category walks away with a brand new iPad. It's the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition, powered by Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
For many people, a breast cancer diagnosis can feel like a battle they're facing alone. But we're all in this together, because breast cancer patients are our mothers, sisters, daughters, our friends. Women need to be assured that they have access to the screening they need and the support they deserve, because every woman matters. Every story is powerful. Every voice makes a difference. Join Guardian Media Group as we pink up the month of October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Show your support. Place your ad. Give your story, your voice in the Nassau Guardian, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, or Hot 91. For more information, contact your account executive or call. Join Guardian Media as we motivate our community by supporting a powerful cause and raising awareness for Breast Cancer Awareness Month this October.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 324. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. And I got to watch my blood pressure when I'm doing this show. Oh, boy. So we were talking about the government, the claim by the opposition that the government is in a cash crunch. Well, first of all, can I tell you that cash crunches are not unusual for the government of the Bahamas, meaning that the Treasury of the Bahamas is very often trying to balance its cash intake with the outflows required to pay bills. That's standard. It's like any home, most many homes that are not wealthy, where, you know, you could even earn a lot of good income, you know, you could earn good income, but, you know, you didn't pay this bill, you didn't pay that bill, and then all of a sudden the child say, it's time, daddy, my tuition fee is due, that's $8,000, but you got $3,000 in the bank, you're in a cash crunch. It's not unusual, because sometimes it's not even a question of you're broke. It's a question of timing. The bill is due today, but your pay doesn't come till the end of the month, right? Or you know you have some receivables if you're in business that you are going to collect, but you're not going to collect them until the 15th. But some of your vendors are calling on you to pay them now. And so you now have to go do some dilly-dallying to say to them, listen, can I get to you X, Y, and Z, and so forth and so forth. The government is no different. Don't mind all that big money talk you hear about the government is going to collect $3 billion. And the government is spending a lot of money. You remember we went over the budget? Every month, God sends, the government of the Bahamas has on top, before it does anything else, months now, after fines, $60-plus million. Every month, fine almost $60-something million to pay interest on its loans. Collectively, that's $120 million every month got to be found. You didn't pay no leases yet. You didn't pay no consultants yet. You didn't pay for the travel yet. All kinds of things ain't been paid, but you are out $120 million. That means that come the end of the month, $150 million in cash money, as people like to say, has to be found to pay, because you are not going to tell the investors, well, come on, a couple of days, I can pay it to you in a couple of days. Or tell the people who work for you, oh, come a couple of days, I can pay. No. That money got to be paid. $120+ million every month. Okay? And so on top of that, you know, the government has to subvent entities of its that have to pay their salary. So before anything happens, the government of the Bahamas has to find at least $150, $160, $70 million cash money to pay. Cash money. Now, if you are not floating in money, as the government is certainly not, if you're not running a surplus, as the government of the Bahamas has never done, and by that I mean not total surplus, it has had a couple of years where it has a surplus on their current account, when are you not in a cash crunch? So could the opposition mean it's more in a cash crunch today than ever before? It could only mean that. Because cash crunches, because you don't hear about it, doesn't mean it isn't happening. You know, I can tell you periods on periods in the Bahamas, under Selinden, under Hubert Ingraham, under Barry Christie, under Dr. Davis, under Prime Minister Davis, I can tell you periods where contractors and those will tell you, either we can't get paid or we're getting paid somehow. There are vendors who owe tens of millions of dollars who have been told, you gotta wait. It's not new. It's unfortunately, I mean, it really is part of the fiscal realities of most countries. Not just the Bahamas, most countries, including the great United States of America. Right? That don't mean they can't begin to be honest. They can print money. You can print money too, but you cannot print money like that, right? So what the opposition would have to be saying is that it's more of a cash crunch today. And if they said that, would that be true? I couldn't say whether that'd be true, but I could tell you, yes, the government of Bahamas is in a cash crunch, but the government of Bahamas is always in a cash crunch. Almost always. Y'all remember when Ingram went to the convention and say, "We got the money." Remember? And then they had the song, "Papa Got a Brand New Bike." Yeah. Well, that only happened because and I think the Bahamas tax take was $60 million. And when the people ever tried to tell us that wasn't owed, Ingram told me, said, "Listen, man, you go get my money. Go get my money, get that money." And that's what I did. And got you your $60 million. It was a very helpful and very necessary. We had an opportunity where the companies were threatening to stop supplying BEC at the time with fuel. We didn't have $50 million in the bank to pay those companies. Did you hear what I said just now? We didn't have the money. So you could call that a cash crunch. We had to declare dividends from BTC in order to pay it. So I just want you to know that this is not, our cash crunches are not unusual. Now, what is the extent of the crunch here? And is that extent debilitating to vendors and others? I do not know. And if that's what the opposition is claiming, then that's a different story altogether. But, I'm telling you something. The politicians in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas will one day learn. I don't know when that day is coming, but they can one day learn to stop giving you the impression that money grows on trees in the government. One day they can stop that. Because while we run heavy deficits, while we have cash shortages, the stadium is getting a $10 million overhaul. How is that not conflicting? How is that not a conflicting message to people? Right? I mean, like, honestly, we do not ever want to say to you, "Listen, we'd love to do this and we'd love to do that and we'd love to do the next thing, but it is impossible right now. It doesn't make sense. It's not practical right now." But you know, no, sorry, Bob, Chad, pop it up. Money cometh. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Well, those of us who run households know that that don't work. That don't work. That you've run into problems. I know I have. I have run into problems. On in the problems. And debt can't save you. It could give you a relief for a time, but if unsustainable, it will come back to haunt you, to bite you. It will. And we some of us have felt the crush of that. And only through adjustments and, you know, really some strategic moves that you have to make, might you be able to get yourself out of the situation. If you have a caller on the line, go ahead. Caller, we're listening to you.
Yes, hi there. Chicago Lang, Seattle Johnson. Just 2 points I want to talk about the money crunch, but on the other thing I was saying was just that we need some Rafi move into financial secretary with the SCB. We need some regulatory technology, which is called RegTech, supervisory technology, which is called SupTech. And you know, you have insurance technology and property technology. And the reason I say is we don't have them is just because there's no legislation to deal with them, because also what you'd have is an attached data regulations on how to deal with it and monitor these things, so you don't have to depend on internal notifications. Because even though you would not have direct access to the data, it would allow for certain behavior to be regulated on how things is happened within the company, and you can check to verify their software that is happening within itself, which is exactly what happened with FTX without those checks and balances in place. But when you talk about this, the cash crunch, I took into consideration with some thinking that, okay, these individuals who are making mention of this cash crunch has been in cabinet before, so they know how the process works. So I deduced from that the cash crunch they were talking about is that the replenishment of the revenue, the buy down, that overdraft, as well as coming in, is ever diminishing to the point that it would not be able to keep pace with the demands that the government has. Because, again, if you enter into the overdraft, let's say it's $300 million, and you maximize it, you're depending on revenue to come in to buy that down before the next instances of payment that goes in. And so you have a steady growth, but we are having, on the conversation, some issues in the economy concerning revenue flowing in based on what the government itself says. So you then begin to question, when will you reach that net zero that essentially you can't replenish fast enough process to happen?
But see, Alan, what I'm saying is, and I hear you, I can point to you so many periods in the history of the bond. I'm not saying that the opposition is not correct. They may be correct. But I'm just saying this is almost standard.
No, as I'm saying to you, but the what may not be standard is that the options to replenish at the accelerated diminishment of the revenue coming in, even though we are marketing one thing, the government already start talking, saying, in spite of this, this might still happen. And so the question then becomes is, if you begin to do an analysis and says, in spite of using, especially having the historical data, you could say, well, based on the historical data, that you may not hit these benchmarks.
Let's see, Alan, but you might be right about that, right? But that's but you just might be right. I mean, it's hard to know that. Do I know what the government's overdraft facility is right now? I do not know. Do I know what the government's advances from the central bank are right now? I do not know. Do I know what the government's borrowing capacity is that it has utilized today? I do not know. If I don't know any of those kinds, I know what the government's cash situation is.
No, but you could, though. See, this is where data analysis comes in. Because
Alan, come on, man. Come on.
Let me explain what I'm saying to you. If you take government at its word, right? They're saying the issues they have.
No, but the government said to you that they have a cash crunch?
No, concerning revenue concerns and other different things that's in the public domain.
That's not the question, though. The government has indicated that the revenue is behind forecasts in some respect and all that kind of stuff. But I'm asking you, did the government say it has a cash crunch?
The government won't say that, but I'm saying to you, you can ask, this is the beauty of data. You can anticipate, this is what predictive and analytics does. And this is what, not just me, but multi-billion.
Alan, with the greatest respect, there's nothing wrong with you nor anybody else on planet Earth speculating about the government's circumstances. There's nothing wrong with that. That's you. You can do that.
No, you don't have to speculate. I could assume, Mr. Lang, I could assume.
Okay, all right. Producer?
Let me show you the way data works, Mr. Lang. I can assume that right now that they have the full amount available for overdraft, and they have whatever else there is. Then you could look at other things that's happening in the marketplace, and not on opinion or how I feel. You can ask the data. The data doesn't lie, and the data could look forward and say, "This is what's happening."
I appreciate it. I'm not doing that. No. If you jump on the show and you want to speculate about what is happening in the government, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. So if C. Allen was saying all he was saying to me, I'm just saying that this was my opinion, that's one thing. Don't tell me nothing but no data. Okay? Because the data that I would be interested in, that I know the government of the Bahamas is finances. The data I would be interested in, and I'm not disputing whether or not Mr. Pintat is correct. What I am saying is for Shivago Lang to be able, and anybody else, to accurately assess the government's cash flow situation, there are a number of things you have to know. You have to know what the status is on that overdraft facility. You have to know what it advances after. You have to know where it's utilized all its contingency provisions as under the law. You have to know whether or not how the revenue is performing in respect of forecast and all that. You have to know a number of things. Not suspect. There's no analytics that could tell you that. That's information you got to get from the government. You can't, it's not going to be on the central bank's website. Right now, this day, live? No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. That's not right. That's not right. That's not right. And I would never comment on the financial standing of the government of the Bahamas devoid of proper information, because any suggestion that the government of the Bahamas is challenged to pay its bills has implications for many things. And I'm not saying, if you say that, say it with some foundation and say, you know what, we did something. Now, this opposition is the opposition. And it ain't gonna be no different than when the PLP is in office and told the government is buying crop. That was what the current AG said when he was in opposition. He said the Bahamas was bankrupt. So I'm not blaming Mr. Pintad for saying what he's saying. All I'm talking to you about on this show is how I would need to know, how I would have to. Now, I could tell you, anecdotally speaking, is the government having cash flow issues? Anecdotally speaking, you could ask the vendors, ask the contractors how much they're getting paid and how they're getting paid with any regularity and so forth. They might tell you, yeah, you know, it's been a slow, it's been even slower, and so forth, and so forth. That could be anecdotal. But that could also reflect many things. So I don't know. How come the cash flow is a problem, but you could travel and it ain't no problem? The civil servants getting paid. Did they miss y'all pay last month? Listen, again, cash crunches are not unique or rare to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas over the course of the last 50 years. Not. We've had good periods where it's been less of an issue, some periods where it's been no issue, but it's not unique or rare. Is it more unique or more? I do not know. And I cannot know that without appropriate information. And there ain't no data analytics out there that could help me do anything but speculate about it. That's all. That's the only thing it helped me do is speculate about it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Golan, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Burger King wants you to enjoy a classic sandwich so good we've been making it since 1979. Introducing the original chicken sandwich, American style, with fries and a drink for only $7.95, including VAT. This sandwich is made with white meat chicken, lightly breaded and topped with crisp, fresh lettuce, creamy mayonnaise, tomatoes, and lots of American cheese on a long sesame seed bun. Get your American original chicken sandwich combo for only $7.95, including VAT. NASA, where taste is king.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 AM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call us, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 40-422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Says, C. Allen is 100% correct. The government is forced to report more and more every day. The data is there. It's a matter of the analysis. This facts, just check out ChatGPT, emotional support from foreign entities, please. So as a data engineer, C. Allen is correct about using both big data and dark data to come to an informed conclusion. Every $1 billion company in the world uses data analytics to make decisions. Every bank and financial institution to do the same today is the data government itself uses top secret from the rest of the world. Well, you tell me. No, you tell me. You're the engine. You're the person making the arguments. You tell me. You tell me what the government's cash flow needs are over the next month, 3 months, 2 months, and tell me what your analytics tell you is the government's cash flow coming in. You tell me. Don't ask me any questions. He who accuses must prove. You tell me. That's what I like to know. And see, some of you all just get it mixed up. I am not saying whether Mr. Pindad is right or wrong. I do not know. That's what I'm saying. I do not know. You are now saying you have all this analytics, all this data engineering you can do. Well, come on, don't come on. Tell me what your numbers tell you. Go on and tell me. And this is how you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me how much money the government has to find today to pay, how much cash the government has on hand to pay, what the shortfall is, if there is one. Go ahead, tell me that. That's how you know whether somebody's in a cash crunch or not. Go ahead and tell me. You have analytics that can help you do this, give me the analytics. That's all I'm asking for. Don't talk to me about analytics. I know what they mean. I know what the words mean. Tell me what your data analytics say. Tell me, how much is the shortfall? What's the extent of the cash crunch according to the analytics that you say you have? First of all, every prediction is a statement on the future. And because it's a statement on the future, it is by its very nature possessive of uncertainty. And it's that uncertainty that is defined as risk. And therefore, as an inherent probability of absolute error. And therefore, if you have an analytic that predicts something, it can only give you even the best informed speculation on a thing. It cannot give you an accurate account of a thing. So don't use words around me like you're going to impress me with. Tell me what your analytics say. I say, okay, well, your analytics say that. So don't tell me he's correct because you say so. Who are you? I am saying I don't even know. So don't tell me, oh, you think you know everything. I don't know. Unlike you, I'm saying I don't know. I'm telling you how I can know. You are telling me how you can know. Well, don't just say he's correct. Tell me how you could know. But every big company uses analytics. How many big companies you know failing, having issues? How come they couldn't predict what their share price is going to be and therefore have to go and write a letter to their investors saying, well, we didn't meet forecast? Wonder what happened to the big data analytics then? Come on, man. You all wake up. You know, come on. Stop it. So yes, still a forecast, you're right. At any time you are speaking of the future, unless you are Almighty God, you are talking about an uncertainty. It is the nature, inherent nature of forecast. One of the reasons why economists many, many economists stray away from forecasts is because by its nature, it has a, no matter how good your algorithms, no matter how great your analytics, no matter how wonderful your analysis, there's an inherent amount of uncertainty. And so most economists try to avoid that because if you don't make a forecast, you can't be wrong. And nobody can point back and say, but you were wrong. And I don't care what, there's no analytics on planet Earth that can absolutely tell you what will happen in the future. Even if it gets it right, it was a probability that happened to come true. Too many unknowns. And we don't have to argue about this at all, right? Mr. Pindrad says the government is in a crunch cap, trap cash. That's his view. Right? He may be using anecdotal information to say that. And that's fine. That's not an issue. Now, I say if you ask Zhivago, is the government in a cash crunch? I could say, as I said to you, anecdotally, I hear contractors who say they couldn't get paid, they got paid partially, et cetera, et cetera. But I could also say, well, I've been in the government of the Bahamas, I've been the minister responsible for finance in the government of the Bahamas, and I know that we have been in circumstances where we had to think, how am I going to pay this? How am I going to pay that? And we still left bills unpaid. Every government has, some to a greater degree than not, right? I'm just saying that in order to know better, there's some things I would have to know. You know, who could definitively, you're talking about analytics and data analytics and all that. You know who could tell you if the government of Bahamas is in the cash crunch or not? The treasurer of the anymore. The position now is something else. I'm sorry, I forgot the new term for them now. But the person who runs the treasury could tell you, oh yeah, I have a little bit of cash crunch. I mean, they would tell me, say, well, you know, Zhivago, this is a situation unlike we've seen before. You know, we've been where, you know, I've been where, yes, no, not the financial secretary. The financial secretary is the head of the Ministry of Finance, administratively speaking. There's another word for the treasurer. That's not the financial secretary. Those are two different positions in the government of the Bahamas. So that person could say that, no, we are having extraordinary challenges. We've had these issues before where we've been tight. You know, I've had occasions where the treasurer has written to me and said, listen, this is the forecast for cash flow for the next 3 months. And if we do not bring in some money by way of borrowings, we're going to have a difficulty and so forth and so forth. So you've seen those occasions. That person would be able to say without question, the Minister of Finance could say, the Financial Secretary could say. all of them could say what the situation is. It's a question of analytics and all that kind of stuff. And if you want to speculate, we'll speculate. Come on. No problem. All right. When the government of the Bahamas gets into real financial difficulty, you're going to know. I promise you, you will know. You will know. Because they will take moves and they will take measures to help you help them out. Because the great security that the government of the Bahamas has, or any government has, is its taxing power. It isn't limitless in that regard, but it is the one reason why people lend it money over and repeatedly and above even a 100% debt to GDP ratio. Why? Because you can tax. You can tax the rich, you can tax the middle class, you can tax. That's why they will lend the government money. If you didn't have that taxing power, which is the only legitimate coercive power on the planet, meaning the government can legitimately force you to give it money. It's called legitimate coercive power. And the government has that. And it can utilize it more and more to get money out of you. Things tight. Introduce a VAT at 7% or 7.5%. Things tight. Raise the VAT to 12%. Things a little slack. Cut the VAT to 10%. It get tight again, put it back to 12%. Or you can cause me to lose the election? Maybe so, but the next month you get them hundreds of millions of dollars come in. Such is the government, but such is governance, right? So I don't know what the real deal is. I don't know what the real situation is. I don't have the kinds of figures. I did when I was the Minister of State for Finance, and that was why I was able to speak to those who said that the government was bankrupt. I could speak definitively, but I couldn't say today. I don't know. I do. Do I believe that the government has strains on its cash flow? Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. But from anecdotal evidence. I don't have no algorithms on big data, I'm analyzing and them kind of things. I don't need to either. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Ghulam, your host. We're going to take our final break, pay our respects to our super sponsors. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and back grip, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
It's back to school season again. Send your kids off with everything they need, from books, uniforms, to school supplies, all with a Fidelity personal loan. Apply today for a chance to win amazing back to school prizes. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The Water and Sewage Corporation wishes to advise the public, its customers, and the residents of Unison Subdivision off Carmichael Road, inclusive of side corners, that there may be an interruption to their water supplies between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on September 20th, 2023, for a total of 2 weeks to perform improvement works in Unison Subdivision. During this period, there may also be road closures and detour around the work areas. Motorists are asked to avoid this area between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience. This may appreciate your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Created Events and Marketing presents Becoming, a transformative women's empowerment summit that will take place on September 24th at the National Training Agency located on Gladstone Road at 3 p.m. Phenomenal speakers include DeQuessa Dean, Simone Bowe, Shirley Pinder, Marissa Mason-Smith, and Dr. Nyambi Campbell-Dean. Not to mention a flaunted fashion show segment hosted by Miss Phyllis Garraway. Tickets are $50 and can be purchased at the Nassau Guardian or Essence Med Spa, number 15 Bradley Street, Palmdale. Part proceeds will be donated to the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group.
Calling all junior and senior high school students. You could win a brand new iPad for the new school year. Enter the Play-Doh Alpha Design Essay Competition. All you have to do is write a strong and convincing essay on the topic, What Does Going Digital Mean to You? For junior high students, your word limit is 1,000 words. For senior high students, your word limit is 1,500 words. To enter, email your essay along with your name, school, and grade level, as well as your parents' contact information to alpha@playtoalpha.com by Friday, September 22nd. The winners will be announced on Guardian Radio's brand new iPad. It's the Play-Doh Alpha Design Essay Competition, powered by Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
For many people, a breast cancer diagnosis can feel like a battle they're facing alone. But we're all in this together. Because breast cancer patients are our mothers, sisters, daughters, our friends. Women need to be assured that they have access to the screening they need and the support they deserve, because every woman matters. Every story is powerful. Every voice makes a difference. Join Guardian Media Group as we pink up the month of October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Show your support. Place your ad. Give your story, your voice in the Nassau Guardian, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, or Hot 91. For more information, contact your account executive or call 302-2300. Join Guardian Media as we motivate our community by supporting a powerful cause and raising awareness for Breast Cancer Awareness Month this October.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, these remaining moments of the show. So grateful that you could join us. If you want to call, numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, the texter who texted the last time says, every bank and financial institutions do the same today. Is the data government itself uses top secret from the rest of the world? Well, here's the thing about that question. If the government from the Bahamas is not, if the government's information is in top secret, why are you going to do data analysis? Data analysis, speculative stuff with it. It's because if it ain't top secret, you just have to get the number. Right? If it's not top secret, you could just say, oh, I know what the overdraft facility is, and that's used up. Oh, I know what the amount of advancement capacity is from the central bank, and that's used up. Because it's right there, the government have it right on the site, or some organization on the dark web has it. Oh, I know what the government's borrowing capacity is. Well, that's easy to know, because you know what the government was approved to borrow. But all you need to know now is how much the government has borrowed. Or I know that this firm and that firm will not lend the government money, so the government will not be able to borrow this, that, and the next thing. Or you could just, that's all you need to do. So, but you say, you ask, is it top secret? Well, if it ain't top secret, how come you don't know? Oh, it ain't top secret, you know, you just don't know. And nor do I. That's the point, right? This text is, Mr. Lang, the situation in Greece a few months ago is a good example of what happens when a country goes broke, right? Listen, you're absolutely right. When the government, Michael Pintar did not say, the leader of the opposition did not say that the government was broke, you know. That wasn't what he said. He said that it's at a serious cash crunch. And he may be right. He did not say it was broke. Broke, you will know. And if they have a serious cash crunch, you will know too. Well, you can know. If it's serious, you'll know. So would you say BPL was in a cash crunch for many years? Many years. When you see a government enterprise has to call upon the government to support it, yeah, it's in a cash crunch. Yeah. So the way they did the fuel surcharge is interesting at best, but the Bahamas government has been adding in a lot of new fees recently. The media should do a report and outline the taxes put on the past year. The Bahamas has the means of borrowing money. The interest may be high, but we can borrow. You're absolutely right. No question with that. You may not want to borrow. It may be difficult to borrow, but you're right. So, Mr. Lang, I applaud how you address the matters of government finances. The taxes we have to pay is a concrete matter, and speculation is no relief. This is why I'm concerned that this administration is weighing so heavily on something called carbon credit. One of these days, we're going to talk about that. I don't know that it's weighing heavily on it. I think it believes that there's revenues to be had from it. The government's reliance for funding is on tax payments. So you got VAT, and the government's heavy reliance is on collection of real property taxes, that kind of stuff. It is hopeful that carbon credits could give it some revenue. I am not so optimistic. I think at best you may collect a couple million dollars. I do not hold out the hope of any substantial sums of money, at least not in the medium term. You know, you might collect some monies in the medium term, but I don't think it's going to be substantial at all. And I certainly don't believe it's going to be available to pay a substantial amount of government's bills. Is Texas the title you were looking for? Is accountant general? That's right. However, it has been changed back to treasurer. Really? Okay. Yeah, accountant general. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. Yeah. This text says, my former minister, I think the name you're looking for is the treasurer, is accountant general. Yes. Okay. And somebody said it was changed back though. Thank you so very much. Oh, my good friend. Wow. What a good friend. boy, thank you. Somebody's saying it was changed back. So which is it now? Treasurer, accountant general, which one is it? But that person, along with the financial secretary, Minister of Finance, they can tell you, let me tell you something. The job of the Minister of Finance, I told you all this before, but can I tell you it again? The job of the Minister of Finance is to find the means to fund the government's expenses. That's the job of the Minister of Finance. Minister of Finance's job is to sit around and say, oh, the government agreed to spend $3.5 billion. Find that money. That's the government. That's the Minister of Finance's job. In this case, the Minister of Finance is the Prime Minister. His job is to find that money. Who does he, how does he get that? Where does he get help from to find that job? That's what the Financial Secretary is there for. He is this technical person on that matter. He's the Financial Secretary to help him find that money. That's the job. So every day, it is their job to worry about, be concerned about how to raise the money to pay the government's finances, whether by taxing or borrowing. That's their job. The treasurer's responsibility is to manage that process of revenue intake and expenditure for the government. That's their job. They are looking at the treasury to say, we got this bill due this month, that bill due next month. They total $700 million this month. The next one total $800 million the next month. We're looking at the revenue intake based on past experiences, and it looked like we can collect $600 million this month, and we'll collect $500 million the next month. That means we can have a shortfall of X amount this month and a shortfall of X amount that month. So convey that to the Minister of Finance and say, listen, this is what we are confronted with. The Minister of Finance has to then decide how to fund it. Do I need to go back to Parliament and ask them to give me more money? Do I need to go and raise some taxes to get more money? Do I need to utilize the capacity I have in my borrowing now to get money? That's the job of the Minister of Finance. When I go and raise this borrowing money, what's the best methodology to do it? Do I go to a single supplier, or do I look for a syndicate of lenders to do this, or should I resort to this multilateral to do so, or should I go into the local private market, or do I go into the international market to do so? What are the circumstances surrounding the interest? That's the job of the Minister of Finance, with the support, with the help, with the technical guidance and advice of the Financial Secretary. That's the job. Says Auditor General, not Accountant General. No, it's not Auditor General. It's not. The Auditor General has nothing to do with the Treasury. And I was talking about the Treasury. The responsibility for the Treasury belongs to the Treasurer or the Accountant General, not the Auditor General. The Auditor General is a person responsible for reviewing the financial affairs, the accounts of the government. That's not the say, all I say is wow to your response. It is why I believe data should be taught to Bahamian students and consider the fact data is now the underlying currency of almost every economy in existence. You explain what government can do if they face a cash crisis, but that is a response. It's in the me. If by your statement you are suggesting that you are somebody au fait with data, this statement is not impressive at all. Not at all. Okay, science should be taught in school. I absolutely agree with you 100%. Okay, anybody who has done sciences, done finance, economics, masters in certain areas and so forth, understands and knows the value of data. Okay, I mean, and don't let nobody fool you, right? This sometimes pretends on some of your part that there's some big sophistication, that this is just absolute nonsense. People are using data every single day, and sometimes doing data analysis every single day. If a mother goes into the food store and says, oh, the price of carnation cream is now $1.70, and then goes and says, you know, let me check my receipts and see what the price was last month, the month before that, and the month before that, and determines that based on that, that the price of carnation cream has gone up by 20% and has gone up by X percent every month for the last 3 months. That's data analysis. Okay, so stop this nonsense. Data analysis can be very sophisticated or it could be very simple. Okay? And so the government of the Bahamas is doing data analysis every single day. I'm not asking you because I've been there. Every single day, that's what they do, that the treasurer has to go ahead and examine what the cash flow requirements are for the months ahead. Look at what they believe their revenue forecast is likely, revenue intake is likely to be based on historic factors and so forth, and then try to determine what will be the cash flow needs for the months ahead. That's data analysis. That is done every single day in the government of the Bahamas. All right, so y'all stop this suggestion that you have some unique knowledge and special knowledge that other people don't have. Yes, there are some people who are better trained than this. Yes, there are some people who are trained at data analytics. And these days, you don't really even have to be as trained because they got algorithms. They got programs. They got computer software that can do this. They're now even venturing into the quantum realm with this, right? So that all you're doing is plugging in the data. All you got to do is find the data. They dump the data inside these applications and the data. These AIs run these data. All right? So don't. My mother ran her household for years. She grew up in this business for years. You know how she did it? Using the data analytics required for her to run that business. Let's stop it. Stop. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. I trust and hope you have a wonderful evening. God bless. If he spares life, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
Everybody, come take my hand.